Hello, and welcome to Bostonian Rap. My name is Rachel Meiselman. You are listening to me on WBCA LP 102.9 FM Boston. This is, of course, Boston's community radio station. We're going to go to a quick disclaimer, and then we're going to come back and just jump right on into tonight's show.
The following commentary does not necessarily reflect the views of the staff and management of WBCA or the Boston Neighborhood Network. If you would like to express another opinion, you can address your comments to Boston Neighborhood Network, 3025 Washington Street, Boston, Massachusetts, 02119. To arrange a time for your own commentary, you can call WBCA at 617-708-3215 or email radio at bnnmedia.org.
Hello, and welcome back to Bostonian Rap. Again, my name is Rachel Meiselman. You are listening to me on WBCA LP 102.9 FM Boston. So we'll just start with the beginning. I went to a meeting last night in Winthrop. Winthrop is a great place, by the way. It's a great city. Well, technically, it's a city. But it's styled as a town. And, you know, it offers a really, really nice way of life. And I think it's beautiful. I do. I think that there are some very beautiful properties there. There are many really nice properties there. I think the beach is beautiful, you know, by the water. It's very peaceful. I definitely think it's a municipality that is worth visiting, that is worth getting to know, that is worth being a place of leisure. In other words, you can spend some of your leisure time there, and you won't be disappointed. It really is. It's a nice way of life. It's a nice rhythm of life. I went there last night. A friend of mine, Paul Caruccio, who's very involved with the Winthrop Republican Town Committee, he is the chair, in fact, he organized with the Winthrop Advocate, one of the local papers, a forum on 3A. And this is, you know, the law that would... The idea is to change zoning laws and opening up the door for development. And this has been met with a lot of skepticism, and some outright opposition, and rightly so. I feel that with this particular law, I think that there's an issue involving constitutionality. I think that there's an issue with lack thereof. I do think that there is a problem. I'm not so sure that the state has the right to tell different towns, different cities that they must, you know, accept these zoning changes. And what's interesting about this is that this law is that the idea is that, well, it doesn't necessarily mean that there's going to be building, but of course we know there will be, because there's all kinds of talk about a shortage of housing, that there's a real lack of affordable housing. And I really think that this was just, it wasn't a well thought out law. It's a one size fits all. And I think that it's a way to rectify, to remedy mistakes, grave mistakes that were made by legislators previously. So there's a lot I'm going to be saying about this law, but the forum was very informative. You had Winthrop Town Council President Jim Lettieri there, and then you had State Representative Jeff Turco, and they were very good. They were very gracious. They were very willing to answer questions. There was candor. There was professionalism. There was civility. So it was a very well-attended event. And I do want to give a shout out to Paul Carruccio because he works very hard. He works extremely hard. And he's one of those people that really, he wants to make a difference. He does. And he has often tried to make a difference without the support of some people that, quite honestly, could have given him support. But he's done a lot for his hometown. He's a Winthrop native. He's done a lot for Winthrop. He cares about Winthrop. He's very invested in Winthrop. And this forum, I think, was not only necessary, but it was very informative because, you know, a lot of times they're meetings and they're necessary, but they're not necessarily informative. They can maybe get hijacked by someone or several someones. The meeting can go off on a tangent, but I think that this meeting stayed on track, and I think that people just walked away with a better sense of what this law is about, the impact it can have. And I think that people also felt a little bit more empowered about what they can do to maybe make a difference in from their own little corner. Make a difference, speak up, maybe reach out to an elected official. But I think that it was a very productive meeting. And as I said, informative and, of course, necessary. So shout out to Paul Carruccio for always really trying to give people of Winthrop another choice. because we can't all be Democrats. And there's nothing wrong. I'm not going to say categorically that Democrats are bad. I'm not going to be one of the Republicans who does that. I have no interest in that. There are a lot of Democrats that I like. I think that, you know, on state level, there are still a number of Democrats that are reasonable, that are the Democrats that I grew up with. I'm in my early 50s. And so the Democrats that I know are not the Democrats that I have seen lately over the last, I would say, 10 to 15 years or so that really have no business in politics. And we used to have, for a while, we had those kind of Democrats in the Boston City Council. We need more of those. But quite frankly, it's time for the Republicans to step the heck up. It's for far too long, we have let Democrats who are reasonable, like Michael Flaherty's outstanding. Former Boston City Council Michael Flaherty, former Boston City Councilor Frank Baker, former Boston City Councilor Tim McCarthy, former Boston City Councilor Stephen Murphy. And I will criticize Salvatore Lamartina, but I think he was good on the Boston City Council. So former Boston City Councilor Sal Lamartina. And of course, current Boston City Councilor Ed Flynn. I think that current He's just been elected Boston City Councilor John Fitzgerald, who has succeeded Frank Baker. I think he has a lot of promise, and I think he's going to be wonderful. I do believe that. You know, I had said publicly, and I stand by this, that I love Pat O'Brien, and Patrick O'Brien is from District 3, and he had pulled papers to run in the same race, in the same election cycle in which John Fitzgerald was elected. And I still think that Patrick O'Brien would do great in elected office one day. So, I don't want people to think, well, you're fickle. No, that's, you can say a lot of things about me, but fickle is not one of them. I'm very, very loyal. But I must say that Councilor Fitzgerald, John Fitzgerald, he has impressed me. And he's proven himself to be generous and committed already in a lot of different ways. And I really do think that he holds a tremendous amount of promise. So, I mean, you have people who are very reasonable. You have he just got elected as well, Henry Santana. Now, Henry Santana is, not a conservative, moderate. He's probably, progressive, center-left. But Henry belongs to the group of politicians, or the group of elected officials, public servants that used to, I think, define Boston, and that they were reasonable. And I think that you can find reasonable people in different parts of the spectrum. Henry is someone that he's very respectful. He's very civil. So even if you don't always necessarily agree with Henry, or it could be anyone else, but I mean, we are talking about Henry. I know that I am confident that Henry will sit down, whether it's me or someone else who might not agree with him on a particular issue, and Henry will sit down and hear what we have to say, hear what I have to say, hear what someone else has to say, or hear what other people have to say. He's very much someone who is built and made for public service. It's who he is. It's who he is. So I just want to say that, because there are some Democrats who are wonderful. You have Brianna Wu. I had Brianna Wu, some of you will remember, on my show when she ran against Stephen Lynch. And I love Stephen Lynch, and I'm very supportive of Stephen Lynch. But I also, in the capacity of a host for Bostonian Rap, I try to be fair. And I want to give people a fair shake, all the candidates a fair shake. I want people to know all of their choices in any given race. And so I had her on. And she's a very smart girl. And I've said that consistently since meeting her over the years. I had an opportunity to meet her husband, Frank Wu, and the two of them are lovely together. It's obvious they adore each other. He was very supportive of his wife. More recently, Brianna has, I think, shown that you can be progressive, you can be liberal, you can be on the left, but you don't have to be out there. You don't have to be off the rails. And she has lately been taking on some of the people in her political camp, and I greatly appreciate that. She has called people out for not being supportive. It's not about, let me be careful how I phrase this. She's calling people out who are supposedly supportive of the Palestinian people, And what she's saying is she's like, look, I'm supportive of the Palestinian people. But what you're doing is not, in fact, supporting the Palestinian people. You're making apologies for Hamas. And she's calling people out, not because, they're critical of Israel. You can be critical of Israel. Freedom of speech, y'all. You can be critical of Israel. I'm a Zionist, but, if someone wants to be critical of Israel, be critical of Israel. Freedom of speech. The issue is when you hold Israel to a different set of standards. And that's what Brianna Wu has been calling out. And I'm greatly appreciative of that because I can call people on the left out. But it's like, oh, well, not that my voice, doesn't weigh as much, at least it shouldn't. But I do think it's very helpful to have someone who is part of that camp who says, look, I support the Palestinian people. And by the way, I do, too. I don't want the Palestinian people to suffer. Being a Zionist doesn't mean that you want the Palestinian people to suffer. What it means is you think that Israel has a right to exist, and it has a right, by extension, to defend itself. But I don't hate the Palestinian people. I don't want to see them suffer. And I want the Palestinian people to thrive. And my position had always been, I want a two-state solution. I am a Zionist. And I think what is good about someone like Brianna Wu is that she's saying, look, criticize Israel. I have problems with Israel, but let's not hold Israel to a different set of standards. And while we're at it, why can't we condemn Hamas? Because all these people who are lamenting and who are roundly condemning Israel for its military operations haven't said anything about Hamas. Nothing at all. So, this is all to say that there are Democrats whom I like very much, whom I appreciate, whom I respect. And they're in different parts of the political spectrum. But to get back to the original point, see, I always, anyone who's been listening to me for a while knows that, like, I'll go off on what might seem like tangents, but it's all somehow related, and I always tie it back up. Paul Carruccio in Winthrop, he's wonderful. And as much as I admire and respect and value and like some Democrats, a lot of Democrats, I still think that we need variety. We need a political plurality. And, in the months to come, the years to come, I look to be going in new directions, not only, with my show, but also, what I do, how I move personally. Because I do want to make a difference. And I think that when we have different voices, we can do that. When everyone is thinking the same way, we can't. So let me go to a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to talk more about this meeting that took place in Winthrop last night. And we're just going to unpack that. And we're going to kind of get into another issue I see, another problem I see just in general in politics that's neither Democrat or Republican specific.
If you are struggling to afford internet service for your household, there's a new government program that may be able to help. It's called the Affordable Connectivity Program, and it provides up to a $30 monthly discount to qualifying households. Find more information about the program, including if you qualify and how to enroll, at fcc.gov/ACP or call toll-free at 877-384-2575. That's 877-384-2575.
Hey, Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Is this tree good for climbing? How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step, but you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by nfamily fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
Sometimes kids play with pretend guns. It's up to us to make sure they don't play with real ones. Keep yours stored locked and unloaded. Learn more at nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by nfamily fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Are our love bugs and companions. They are our pets, our family, and they make life better. When we face unexpected challenges, so do our pets. That's why we're on a mission to support people and their pets. Whether donating a bag of kibble, sharing an Instagram post of a lost cat, or welcoming a foster pet into your home, every bit of kindness counts. Visit petsandpeopletogether.org to learn how to be a helper in your community. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Hello, and welcome back to Bostonian Rap. So, as I started to talk about at the top of the show, I went to a meeting in Winthrop, which was about the Section 3A of the Zoning Act. So I want to provide some more specifics. When I talk about something, I like to be as precise as possible. I like to be as specific as possible. I don't like to make references that are kind of specious. I like to refer people, you know, if they so wish, to sources that they can look at themselves. But I like everything that I say to be grounded, accurate, and precise down to the letter T. That's just who I am. So the compliance guidelines for multifamily zoning districts under Section 3A of the Zoning Act. So you're going to hear a lot of people in Massachusetts talking about section, you know, 3A, MBTA. And so let me just kind of, and MBTA, of course, is the Massachusetts Bay Transportation Authority. We just call it the T. For those of you who are less familiar with Boston or Massachusetts, but this particular law, let me just kind of read through it with you. So Section 3A of the Zoning Act provides an MBTA community. So again, that's the Massachusetts Bay Transportation Authority. That is our public transportation system. And yes, it's often called, referred to as the T, shall have a zoning ordinance or bylaw that provides for at least one district of reasonable size in which multifamily housing is permitted as of right, provided, however, that such multifamily housing shall be without age restrictions and shall be suitable for families with children. For the purposes of this section, a district of reasonable size shall have a minimum gross density of 15 units per acre, subject to any further limitations imposed by Section 40 of Chapter 131 and Title 5 of the State Environmental Code, established pursuant to Section 13 of Chapter 21A, and be located not more than 0.5 miles from a commuter rail station, subway station, ferry terminal, a bus station, if applicable. The purpose of, okay, so sorry, you know, I'm throwing out all these, you know, references to the law, but here's more layman terms. The purpose of Section 3A is to encourage the production of multifamily housing by requiring MBTA communities. So these are municipalities where you have public transit that is, readily available. Okay, is to encourage the production of multifamily housing by requiring MBTA communities to adopt zoning districts where multifamily housing is allowed as of right and that meet other requirements set forth in the statute. It sounds all great, right? Because we're saying, look, there's a need for affordable housing. That's what we're saying, right? And you know what? There is. There is a need. But this is my problem. There is a need for affordable housing, but I'm sorry, but our politicians have screwed things up. You know, if you want to take Boston, for instance, there was a period, a long period. And you could actually even argue that we're still using wrong metrics, but affordable housing had for a long time, affordable housing for Boston had been defined by what was affordable for Boston and surrounding suburbs. And that's problematic, highly, highly problematic, because you're obviously then not getting an accurate picture of what is affordable. Affordable doesn't mean anything. You can't loop Boston in with surrounding municipalities that are affluent. You can't do that. And why no one with common sense didn't say, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. Why someone or several someone's didn't speak up sooner. I feel like that has contributed, at least in part, to where we are today. Because let me be clear. I'm not going to say it's the only reason, but I do think it's a big reason. Because a lot of buildings that have gone up that were declared affordable housing or mixed income, a mixed income building, these units, these apartments, they could have actually been affordable if the proper appropriate metrics were actually used. And so all these buildings have gone up. Supposedly generally they're not entirely affordable, but, you know, generally there's, you know, mixed income. But, you know, you have a lot of supposedly affordable properties that have been constructed and people still can't afford them. And so the idea is, well, let's just keep on building. And it's infuriating because you can't keep on building if you're not using the proper metrics. And I still don't think that a lot of our decision makers, our politicians are, because they still want to talk about underserved communities. They still want to talk about certain groups. I got news for you. There are people living in municipalities that are generally affluent, and they are having trouble keeping up with their mortgage payments. There are a lot of people that cannot make ends meet, and they're not all black and brown, and they don't all live in Roxbury, and they don't all live in Dorchester, and they don't live all in Mattapan. And I'll be frank with you, some of those places that are generally considered underserved, even in those Boston neighborhoods that I just ticked off, I'm telling you that most of us could not. I don't know if I could afford to go in to these different places now. Right around the Melnia Cass Recreational Center complex, those rents are expensive. Are there some people there with more modest means? Absolutely. But let's be clear. There are also some people there that have means. And I remember I lived in a place that was about a 4-minute walk from the Melnia Cass Recreational Center complex. About, oh my goodness, we're going back a ways. About 13 years. I lived there for a year. And my rent since then, it has the rent for the place that I lived in, it has tripled. It has tripled. So it's just, can we please stop talking about underserved communities? Can we please, you know, yes, there are some communities that are more vulnerable financially than others. Of course there are. But when we have so many people now that are part of what I call the new class, the working poor, it's just stop. It's enough already. So all this building, I just think that, you know, Section 3A, I don't see that as being the remedy. And in a place like Winthrop, you already have some crowding. You already have traffic issues now. And when you're talking about building something, it's not just about, oh, well, there'll be a place for people to go. Where are they going to park? And politicians don't have a right to dictate how people can move around. They don't. You know, the response isn't, well, less cars on the road. No, you politicians, you know, they don't have the right to say, well, you can't use a car. Or they don't have, it is not their place to try to push other modes of transport to the point where they're trying to make people who do drive feel bad or like they're contributing to a problem that the politicians themselves created. You know, you also have to think about not only, you know, more cars, more traffic, resources in the community, schools. What are the classroom sizes going to look like? It's hospitals. It's, you can't just build. We can't build our way out of this problem. And it's just very frustrating because there doesn't seem to be a lot of common sense. There doesn't seem to be a lot of expertise, a knowledge of the issues. And so you have Milton right now that is under fire. And I actually spent a part of my childhood just down the street from Milton. And, you know, I respect Milton for putting up a fight because you can't, like I said, you can't just build without thinking of the consequences. It's not just about putting up a building, sticking people in it, and then that's it. Problem over. We found a place for these people to go, or some people to go. That's not how it works. And I'm going to tell you that people choose to go to certain places because they want a certain type of life. So, for instance, Winthrop. I talked about earlier in the show how it has a certain rhythm of life. People go to Winthrop. They've gone to Winthrop. They've stayed in Winthrop because that's what they want. It doesn't mean that they're backwards. It doesn't mean that they don't want to see change. It doesn't mean that they don't want to see things that could use improvement. It doesn't mean they don't want to see those improvements. But they want to live in a town, well, technically a city in the case of Winthrop. They want to live in a city, a municipality of a certain size, and they want a certain pace of life. And they should be able to enjoy that. And like I said, you know, Milton right now is putting up a fight. And, you know, a lot of people have you know, spoken out. Lydia Edwards, State Senator Lydia Edwards, has spoken out about Milton and saying that, you know, Milton should be crushed. And I'm just curious to see if she's actually going to say that about Winthrop, which is in her district. She represents all of Winthrop. People have the right to live where they want to live, and they have a right to enjoy the lifestyle that is afforded by the place that they have chosen to live. So that's my issue with 3A. I do think that they're constitutional issues, and I look forward to discussion around it, because there has to be a conversation where all the people who are impacted have a say. It can't be just unilateral. We're going to build. That's not right. That's not okay. And I disagree with Attorney General Andrea Campbell. You know, God bless her. I hope she's successful in this role. But I don't think that her opposition to Milton, the town of Milton, is appropriate. And I think that this particular issue is going to highlight, maybe more than a lot of other issues that we have, it's going to highlight just how much power has been shifted away from the people and put into the hands of the electeds who are supposed to represent the people. I think it's going to demonstrate, or is demonstrating, how much people no longer matter to the people who are supposed to be representing them and addressing their needs and concerns. And I think that's sad. But I think that this issue also reveals something that I do want to get into. You know, people who are making serious errors and making decisions that are very poorly thought out, and it's having impact. There is the domino effect, and sometimes that effect takes place over an extended period of time, but it takes place. It is taking place. And it's infuriating, actually, because it didn't really have to happen. But I think that people have to really speak up and take back their power. I do. I think that they need to start asking questions, and I think they need to demand answers. No one's talking about people being aggressive and nasty and bullying and disrespectful and being uncivil. No one's talking about all that. But I think that there is a way to demand answers that is going to be fruitful, that's going to yield fruit, that is going to move a discussion forward in a direction that it needs to go in order for problems to be addressed. But people have to start asking questions. They have to start voting. They have to. It can't be the same people all the time going to the polls, because when people choose not to vote, or when people choose to vote and they're not uninformed, not informed, when they choose to vote and they're letting other people think for them, this is what we're going to have. And it has to stop. It has to stop. We need people who stand up to run for office, whether it's public office or whether it's ward or state committee. You have to know what you're talking about. You can't just, it's just, we can't have people anymore just standing up and saying, hey, I'm going to run for this. I'm going to do. Don't do it if you don't know what you're talking about. You look at the Republican State Committee. My goodness. So I can talk about it now because the race is behind me. So, of course, I ran for Republican State Committee in 2024. There were five candidates. There were two candidates for State Committee Man for the 3rd Suffolk District, and there were three candidates, including myself, for State Committee Woman. Out of all the candidates, I was the only one talking about the issues. What's interesting is I was the only candidate talking about 3A when I was running. Well, it's absolutely hilarious. It's you had these people standing up to run, and they weren't talking about like issues and how they relate to the district itself. So I was there at this meeting in Winthrop. Wonderful meeting again. Kudos to Paul Carruccio, the Winthrop advocate. Very grateful to Council Winthrop Town Council President Lettieri, Jim Lettieri. Very grateful to State Representative Jeffrey Turco for being present. But I had to laugh. You had the State Committee Man who showed up only because he's afraid that someone probably will run against him or challenge him in 2028, because, of course, the terms are every 4 years. You had the newly elected State Committee Woman who ran with him, who was there because he was there. And then you had the other two candidates, a husband and wife duo, and the wife actually comes from Winthrop, yet she couldn't attend meetings in the past. So it's just incredible. So neither she nor her husband had been attending meetings, but all these people were running and they can only show up for a meeting, a forum to talk about, to listen to thoughts and ideas about 3A after the election. And I think that's very problematic. Just like the legislators that we have that made very poor, lousy decisions regarding housing. If these people had actually known the issues, had actually understood the housing industry, the dynamics, not just supply and demand, those terms are just thrown out. If they had actually understood the metrics, I don't think we'd be where we are today. And it's the same thing with the State Committee. Well, why is the Republican State Committee under 10%? Why are we under 5%? I mean, we're on the verge of extinction in Suffolk County. Why are we here? Well, because we have people who stand up and they don't talk about the issues and how they relate to the darn district. Because they're not involved with the district. And if they're involved, they're involved with a little piece of the district. They're involved with their little circles. They're with their little cliques. If you want to run for office, you got to get out there and you got to know the issues. And you got to understand the dynamics. And you got to know the points of view, even the ones that you're not going to agree with. But I mean, really, I sat there in that meeting, that forum, I sat there and I found it offensive because, again, during the campaign, I'm the only one out of the five candidates that had actually spoken, had the only one who had referred to 3A. And not only that, but of the five candidates, three of them, including that husband and wife duo who ran, three of the five candidates live in Winthrop. Yet when it was discussed at a Winthrop Town Council meeting, I was the only one of the five that was there, present at that meeting to listen to what people had to say. That's unacceptable. And so then they show up at this forum and they think they're going hard or they think they're taking care of business. my argument is you don't stand up and run unless you already know what you're talking about. And you know what you're talking about because you've already been in the community. And standing up to run is an extension of that. You don't run for something and then learn about the issues and learn about the people and learn about the geographical space on the job. That is so unbelievably offensive. And as you can hear from the sound of my voice, it seriously pisses me off. If you're going to do something, you do it right. And so now you're going to hear coming out the girl who grew up with grandparents and a great uncle who was like a second father who lived through the Great Depression, who were born before the Great Depression and lived through it. You're going to see that kind of no-nonsense, no frills, like this is what it is. Because if you don't know a community, if you don't know a people, if you don't know the issues, how in the blazes are you supposed to get anything done? If you don't know the issues, then you're running for an internship. And that's unacceptable. And so, as I said, this is a particular issue that I wanted to kind of unpack here. That's not party specific. It's not Democrat. It's not, you know, a Democratic thing. It's not a Republican thing. It's what's accepted in today's political climate, at least in Massachusetts. And then we wonder why our standard of living has so drastically declined. Well, because we have people in office who don't know what they're doing. And then what they do is they put other people in positions of authority who don't know what they're doing. And they do that so that no one will challenge them and say, hey, what's going on? Or I don't understand this. Could you explain? And actually, it's not even challenging. It's just asking questions. But when people don't know what they're doing, when they're in a place where they don't need to be, where they shouldn't be, if you ask any questions, you're a troublemaker. You're not a good fit. You can't get along. You're not a team player. So if we're going to make a difference, if we're going to really turn things around, we need people that know what they're doing before they stand up and run for an office. It doesn't come after the fact. I mean, the husband and wife duo who showed up at, you know, at the Winthrop Forum, presumably they're looking to run again. But if the issues were so important to you, that would mean that it's because the people are so important to you. But if that were true, why are they just showing up for things now? Why are they just showing up for a meeting now? Again, the state of the Republican Party is not going to change when you have people who are tasked, you know, they're tasked to build the party and they're not doing it. They don't want to do it. They're not interested in doing it. It's just, but it's the same thing for public office. If you're standing up and running and you can't even clearly describe what the purview of the office is, you're not interested in holding it to serve the people. You're interested in holding it to fatten your bank account, to see what you can get out of it, to see what kickbacks you can get, to see what perks and goodies you can get. You think I'm wrong? Look at the Boston City Council. Anissa Sabi George did not run to be on the Boston City Council. She ran because she wanted to be mayor. And she wanted a place, she wanted to run with the big dogs. Okay? And when she ran, she didn't even run on her platform. She ran on chunks of my platform and maybe some other people. But she ran as a Republican, for Pete's sakes. And then people said afterwards, well, she didn't seem very authentic in her mayoral, during her mayoral run. Well, of course not, because it wasn't her platform. It was mine and maybe someone else's. But certainly it was a lot of what I had run on when I was running for Congress in 2020. But the point is that Anissa didn't run to be on the Boston City Council. It was a stepping stone. And Michelle Wu didn't run to be on the Boston City Council. She ran because she wanted to be mayor one day. And Ayanna Pressley didn't run to be on the Boston City Council. To be on the Boston City Council, she ran because she wanted to be in Washington in one day. And Erin Murphy didn't run to be on the Boston City Council. She ran because she wanted to be mayor. She thought she would succeed where Anissa failed, as if. Listen, we need people that are going to be informed that running for office is an extension of the work that they've already done. They have to have the qualifications. It can't be, well, it's the sister of, and the neighbor of, and the ex-girlfriend of, and the ex-partner, and the this, and the that, and the these, and the those. It's got to be someone who knows what he or she's doing. Period. And even then, it doesn't necessarily mean that the person's going to do a good job, but the person has a lot better of a chance of doing a good job if he or she understands what is expected of him and what is the purview of the office that he seeks to hold or that he gets to hold, and that if he or she knows, the geographical space and the people and the issues and the dynamic and the terrain, the lay of the land, it's just, this is all necessary. You know, and this bit, of course, extends to the state committee. I don't understand people just standing up to run, just to run, to get their name out there, to raise their political profile, to help themselves financially, to get to a higher political position. I say I don't understand it, I do. And I find it insulting. I find it hugely offensive. I think it's this trend that we see, this phenomenon. It's incredibly insulting. And like I said, people have to start standing up, and they have to say, "Well, we're not going to take this. We're not going to tolerate this. We want something better. We want a certain quality of life. We don't want to live check to check. We want to be safe. We don't want a 3-hour commute from our home to our place of work when we live and work in the same city. We want good schools. We want opportunities to be leaders, too." But the only way this phenomenon that has been so devastating to us all is going to stop is if we do stand up and speak out and we start demanding better, because we can't continue to expect people of quality to want to run for office when we're not going to get behind them, when we're not going to vote for them. And on that note, you've been listening to me, Rachel Meiselman, Bostonian Rap. That's all I have for today. I look forward to hanging out with you, of course, next week.
The preceding commentary does not necessarily reflect the views of the staff and management of WBCA or the Boston Neighborhood Network. If you would like to express another opinion, you can address your comments to Boston Neighborhood Network, 3025 Washington Street, Boston, Massachusetts, 02119. To arrange a time for your own commentary, you can call WBCA at 617-708-3215 or email radio@bnnmedia.org.